No, there's maybe some cope on my part, but the chair was like falling apart.
Yeah.
I wasn't like break a sturdy chair.
No,
fat.
I didn't. I
like,
wasn't saying you
But I know, but it does look.
It doesn't
it's
matter
just
who it is. You break the chair, everyone's first thought is, ugh.
Have you ever broken a chair? Have you ever?
I have actually broken a chair. Yeah.
What was the scenario?
I think it was like, you know, like those flimsy plastic chairs. I think I was at actually like a family party, and I was a fat kid. I just plopped my ass down, and it just fucking broke apart, dude.
Oh my god!
And they thought it was hilarious. It was hilarious. But it did. It literally looked like I was just wiping my ass with that chair. You know, like it just was gone.
Devastating. Have you ever broken a chair?
No, but I used to work at CVS Pharmacy in high school. It was a terrible job for a high schooler, by the way.
Yeah.
And this like we had these like little photo stools, like where you'd like develop your photos and shit.
Yeah.
And this like big guy like sat on one of the stools and it fucking like exploded into the ground. Like it just completely collapsed. And he got so embarrassed and then he got mad and he was like, "The stool's like fucked up. This is like an outrage." And I was like, "It was totally fine."
Yeah, like that. Yeah, it was not like made for 400 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
To be fair,
really...
a stool at the Kansas CVS should be ready to take like a ton.
I know.
It should
honestly,
be pressure tested.
Dude, yeah,
it should be a concrete block.
Yeah, I think it was just 400-pound guy after 400-pound guy for like 6 years, just like wearing that thing down until it just imploded. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I feel like it's almost like if a European sat on it, he would bounce in the air just from he's just so used to the kick, dude.
Wait, speaking of European, were you just in Germany?
Yeah, I was. I just got back like 2 days ago.
How the fuck was that? That sounded
dude,
awesome.
It was great. Well, the first day, I went to like a bunch of cities and we did some shows and shit. But the first day in Amsterdam, I like tried to microdose some shrooms.
Yeah.
And go to the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah. Are you a shrooms guy in general?
Not really, no. So I was like, I like a small amount, but it's fine. But we go into the shroom place and I'm like, hey, we want to microdose shrooms. And the guy was like, yeah, so that's not really like a thing.
He was like, that's some bullshit. That's just, he's like, you either go hard or you go home.
Yeah, well, right? No, he was like, that's like a medical thing for someone who's trying to treat depression. That takes like months to like establish a microdose. And we're like, dude, you know what we mean. We're like,
I just want a small amount of money.
I want a smaller amount
of money. He's like, I don't want to cry at the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah, I was like, go to the Van Gogh Museum. Like, what would you give me for
what,
that?
Can I still like walk around and do stuff? Or am I going to like say, what does everything mean as I'm ripping my hair off in the middle of Amsterdam?
So he was like, if you want to feel anything at all, at least take like 10 grams of this shit.
10 grams?
But it's not like
but
regular
like
shrooms.
It's like
the
diluted
weak,
into
yeah,
like
it's like
chocolate.
The super weak shrooms. So it's not the same as taking 10 grams of regular shrooms.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have no idea what this means. So I took 10 grams. And it's like, it was like a full
you're like,
trip.
It's fucking, also mushrooms hits you so quick.
Dude, so
you're
quick.
You literally just eat it and you're like, I think everything's fine. Then like 30 minutes later, you're like, I just feel like it's so weird to be alive.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, what the hell
my
have
body
I done?
Felt like a slinky. I was in the museum. It was like hot and crowded. And then like one room you'd see like a painting of flowers. It was all twisty, Van Gogh style. And you're like, this is really beautiful. And then you go in the next room and it's like, and then he chopped off his ear. and then he lost his mind. And you're like, ah!
Nobody ever loved him.
Yeah.
He was dead.
And then he felt like
Should I kill myself?
I know. It was like so
You think you're looking in a mirror and you're like, I'm missing my goddamn ear. Yeah.
Dude, I was like reading all the plaques and it was just like crazy. Yeah. He chopped off his ear and took it to a prostitute.
Right.
He went to a
brothel. Been there, brother.
I know. He went to a brothel.
I've
he's like,
I've emotionally chopped off a lot of things and offered it to people I barely know. So I get it. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, then I fled. I fled the van.
Yeah. His life was a bad trip.
Dude, yes,
so
it was a bad
trip. So you're just
going
to go look
trip.
At a museum. I heard like as a kid, he used to paint paintings and bring it to the dinner table and be like, I'm seating with my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a fucked up guy.
He was a weird, sad, mentally ill guy.
Like,
before that was
paint.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was not, yeah.
Before that was like an identity in Bushwick you could have.
Yeah, dude, Van Gogh's a really cool trending identity in Bushwick. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
No. If Van Gogh was around today, he'd be like king of the polycule. No one would even think he's weird. He'd probably be the most normal person in his group of friends.
An unsuccessful artist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Us?
Yeah.
He'd be on our podcast.
An unsuccessful artist, like, it's like eventually people are going to realize I'm a genius. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everyone you bump into in New York. Except he actually committed to something with cutting off the ear.
But he was just fucking living in what? Fucking Holland?
Yeah.
Like the 1800s, dude, that would suck. Just
that would suck pretty hard.
Insane.
In a house alone, painting.
And you're
that?
Like, what if flowers were squiggly?
Yeah, like,
and everyone's like,
oh no, that's all they are.
Yeah. Like, you revolutionized the industry. It's literally just an insane person painting insanely.
Well, what if the Starry Night was painted from the window of the insane asylum?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I mean,
it's also kind
would...
of like, okay. Like, what's these are pain sips right here. If this was in an art museum, would you be like, and I told you it was you were supposed to care about it, would you know it's bullshit?
I'm sorry, I would. Yeah.
Wait, so you would? Time out. You painted this at a painting
studio? No. A woman I went on a date with once.
Oh, okay.
Almost.
And then you kept it forever?
Well, I paid for it. I paid $80 for the painted sip. I'm keeping the fucking
painting.
I gotta
keep her shitty painting for the rest of my life.
I'm keeping this fine painting. I don't know. If someone told me, like, I have to care about this, I don't know if I could tell the difference.
What is that dome? Is that the Las Vegas Sphere? What is that, what is that supposed to be?
It's a moon. It's like, fun. $40 a painting. That's solid.
The moon. Is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I could tell the difference.
Yeah. No. 100%. That is not.
No. Van Gogh's like, I'm gonna fight you on this. Van Gogh's like a good artist.
That's my grandma's art right there.
You said what?
It's my grandma's art right there.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
It's not Vincent Van Gogh. Like, it's not all a pyramid scheme.
It's all right. I don't know. If
there is a difference.
No, it's like we're doing the thing. Like,
a lot of it in a museum is like people telling you you have to feel something. It's like in church. Like, don't you feel it? And I'm like, no.
But it's also, this is sounding like the people that don't like sports that are like, oh, sorry, you throw a ball in a hoop and I'm supposed to care. And it's like, okay, but like Vincent Van Gogh, is it like, sorry, there's colors on a thing and I'm supposed to, because Mr. Sportsman says.
Is that art? I can have an opinion. I don't think it's that fucking great.
You can have an opinion. But also, the sky is orange is my opinion. You know what I mean?
Opinion, your opinion is like Tom Brady stinks. It's like, okay, but. He did kind of shred it.
I don't think he's nothing. Listen, I'm happy that a guy who had a miserable life, people loved him late. I root that for all of my friends with miserable lives.
Yeah.
I hope every one of my friends has a Vincent Van Gogh level, like people worship, they listen to their Patreons in a museum in perpetuity after they cut off some part of themselves.
Can you imagine?
But I don't feel a lot when I look at Starry Night.
No, it's
I
also,
don't feel a lot.
Dude, well, the thing with Starry Night is
I like Severance. I like TV. I like other shit.
I like TV.
I have other stuff that I like. I just feel like museums where I'm always like, you sit, you stare, it's like, okay.
Well, I think a lot too. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Starry Night, the painting feels like the song Margaritaville, where it's like I've heard it / seen it so many times that it's like meaningless to me.
But then you listen to the lyrics, kind of good.
Dude, but if I saw it for the first time ever, heard it for the first time ever, it'd be like pretty good. But
I would,
like, this should be one of the most famous things of all time.
Yeah.
But
then
what
like
it is,
incredible.
You're like, oh, this is one of the most famous things of all time.
You just see it every day, hear it every day.
Well, you get Mark. Yeah, well, you're bringing me back. Using the Margaritaville as a motivator is like maybe he's got something.
Dude, he was the Jimmy Buffett of painting, I think. There you go.
Definitely now with that much it's like merchandised and stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're like, why is this in Times Square?
Yeah, exactly. It's like every screensaver for every mom on a flight.
It really is crazy how like, because there is that thing where like, an image gets reproduced so many times. You're like, now it is kind of like kitschy and cheap.
Yeah.
Because it's so like mass. Like the Mona Lisa is kind of like that, where you're like, this is amazing, but this is also like airbrushed on like t-shirts at Venice Beach, you know? Like, it's like becomes so popular that it's like cheap again.
Yeah, and then you go and see it and it's like this big, you know? There's like 50
people.
Yeah,
when shit is small.
What the fuck?
That's such a...
Why is it small?
You can't be like, you're an idiot for not liking Van Gogh. Oh, this guy, this is fucking small, dude. How am I supposed to love anything that's small?
I can't.
Everything I want, my truck's big, I'm big. If it ain't big, what's the point? I got on a big old plane to look at a small square. That math ain't end up.
I can't love a small painting. I have no love for it in my heart. It's got to be huge.
Yeah. In my Tinder bio, it's like 5'5" by 5'5" at least.
Yeah.
You're like a girl on Hinge.
Yeah, I'm a size queen for paintings, big time.
I actually think that's true. When there's the ones that it's like it's a giant purple, you know, circle, I'm like, that's 8 feet big. That's so big. How'd you fit that in the museum?
You had to get on a ladder.
Yeah.
What it means, this one means that he had to stand on a ladder. This painting's about standing on ladders.
Is Mona Lisa bigger anywhere in this museum? Donald Trump comes out with the big Mona Lisa to tackle.
That's what
the big Mona Lisa with big tits. He's like, the tits are big and she's actually fuckable.
We're finally going to make her smile. She's like,
the biggest smile you've ever seen. Yeah, just sounds
like
a Jewish
guy. Like the duck
guy.
Lips, you know?
Yeah. Who's that for?
Duck lips?
Yeah, and a selfie.
I want to know too. Yeah.
I have such an annoying answer
for
this.
I saw about 80 people do that yesterday at Margaritaville.
Really?
Yeah. Amount of people I saw sitting there, as you do, trying to take in the goddamn skyline.
Did you go there to write?
Margaritaville is like a time capsule.
Yeah, I go to Margaritaville to write. Just connect with the great artist Jimmy Buffett. Just
working
just
on
relax.
Some new. Yeah, new stuff. Yeah,
dude. Yeah. Just staring off at the skyline.
I usually go there and order a chai latte.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Just, I put in Radiohead.
I just focus.
To drown out the margarita.
Yeah, I just like the atmosphere.
Just really,
just like the place.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Dude, I just sit by the big sandal. It's like my Mecca. I just pray to that 5 times a day.
Margaritaville has like millennial, like early Instagram aesthetics. Like, you know what I mean? Like the whole thing feels like the toaster filter, big glasses, flap brim hat, whatever that era.
I don't know what that is either.
You know what I'm talking about? Like a like a millennial Instagram post, like a 2009 Instagram post.
Like what would that mean?
Like a early hipster. Like what you're talking about. But like the duck lips, like that whole thing.
It does.
Like that
I think
era.
It does have that vibe.
Wait, so what's your answer on duck lips? Well, who's that for?
Yeah.
There's this really interesting article that I've read the headline of and haven't actually read.
Someone wrote a thesis paper.
That I've seen,
which is
like,
also
TikToks
every article
about.
Ever.
Yeah, I read the
headline and actually you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm always like, oh, trickle-down economics is bullshit. But that is like how I get information. It's like someone who's like rich with knowledge thinks something and then the middle class below them kind of digests it and then gives me, the poor person, the footnote.
Yeah.
And it's I'm like, I get it. I'm like a millionaire, basically. But that there's this weird thing, like the way that the Kardashians kind of like wanted to be black and like culturally appropriated a lot of like, they were like super, super tan and they all got bigger lips and they had their hair in like cornrows and there's this weird like, you're technically not like doing blackface, but you're very clearly gaining traction in popular culture by like stealing the aesthetics of another culture.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing about like the,
that's what duck lips is.
Well, the kind of like Instagram face that's developed is like this very weird, like at one point, like weirdly kind of racist, but also like, I guess these aren't different, but like culturally appropriating features from other races. Like if you look at how people edit their faces on Instagram, it's always kind of like they're very like light skin, but they have like kind of Asian eyes, but they have like bigger lips. Like they're like creating this like person that's like a weird kind of racist amalgamation of like,
but also,
you know what I mean?
Kind of beautiful. It's like coming together. We all look like
we're
all sort of a slightly Asian hot model with big lips. We're a tan. Do we all just look like Kim Kardashian? That's what Elon Musk and all, they're spending millions of dollars to fight everyone like looking like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, but they,
like, great replacement theory. Like being, if they're gonna replace the nation with like a billion Kardashians, wouldn't that be cool?
But
like, your daughter will actually have a fat ass for once in your goddamn bloodline.
But that's like the most Nancy Pelosi neo-lib shit. Yeah. Like, no, we have diversity. I put a tan filter on myself.
No, totally.
You know what I mean? You're like, this is still like
joke. No,
like,
but it's also, no, you can't ever, no one can ever call you on that, because you could be like, hey, you making a stupid face? That's actually my culture. That's actually me.
No, yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, we look like the stupid thing you're doing.
I don't mean to say that, like, but you know, yeah, I hope that, I don't mean for it to sound like a fucked up thing that I'm saying, but I've just seen a lot of people analyze it and be like, when there was like the Kylie Jenner lip challenge, it was like, oh, it's really weird that white people were like so against that as a feature and were like, oh, that's unattractive. And then all of a sudden, Kylie Jenner decides it's attractive and now it's desirable because a white
that's
girl
like almost
has that feature.
Like Martin Luther came down with the new it's sort of like, what is whatever the prophet says for white women.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the new thesis, and you're like, oh, now we love the big lip. And it's like,
that's 100% what the Kardashians are.
Yeah,
Kardashians
they are.
Kardashians are just like the prophets of white. Yeah. They're like, no, we do this. The fat ass is in.
It's Moses coming down with the fucking Ten Commandments. There's a picture of duck lips, all that shit.
I mean, there are people that are literally saying the fact that the Kardashians like dissolved their BBLs and got back to being skinny was like a predictor that like conservatism was on the rise in America.
Can you?
That's like a real theory.
That's just crazy.
You can read like think pieces about that. It's like
a real thing. So it's like just seeing the path. If you just study their body, like a sundial, you like the smaller the ass.
It's
the
like
closer
can,
we are to fascism,
it's
the
like
out of the ass, the closer we are to equality.
It's like how they track the
these
big
Barack Obama photos. Jesus Christ!
It's like how they track the Big Mac to like see where the economy, if it's going to go into like a depression, like if it goes down. Yeah. They just look at their ass. Also, imagine having the money to reduce your ass, to shave down. How do you get rid of ass?
Can you imagine spending money to be ugly?
Like, to build an ass and then take it apart.
Goddamn luxury.
Dude, you look at the Kardashians like 10 years ago. You're like, you would think that it was like a mixed race girl. And now they're all trying to be like skinny and white again. It's very fucking weird.
Armenians have always kind of been like, what are we doing? We got genocided, so they're like, maybe we're diverse, and they get here and they have a lot of money. They're like, maybe not, you know? So they're really trying to pick teams.
Trying to restart.
And it is a very white girl thing to do for their defense to be like, how could I have done blackface? My mom is trans. Like, that has nothing to do with that.
I'm like, it checks out somehow.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
Okay, yeah. Caitlyn Jenner is gonna be just. I feel like an image of her standing outside of an ICE detention center is gonna happen any day. Yeah. I just feel like that's the lyric.
Yeah, she's like, for real Republican.
Oh, yeah, wow. Just like all traditional values. And
oh,
like,
the trans
okay.
one? What is it? Caitlyn? Wait.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner, yeah.
Yeah.
But not like, very Law and Order of them, because she's a full-on murderer.
Yeah.
She hit a person with a car
and
killed
she's
them.
A transgender felon.
And like Olympic athlete.
Who in a mixed race family.
Yeah. She's literally who they, like the supervillain that they're trying to, from like the boys who they think exist.
Dude, what a they life. Is, Olympic athlete killed someone, switched to fucking being a woman. I mean, that's everything.
That's kind
yeah,
of
yeah, you've
all
experienced
the
every possible, every human, possible emotion.
Human emotion there is. Like, put her on the moon, and yeah, that's a wrap.
That's it, yeah. No. Yeah. She's like Alexander so Webb.
Shoot her to Mars.
No like
I felt
conquer.
What it's like to be a man on top of the world. I felt what it's like to be a woman that no one understands. I felt what it's like to see the life leave a man's eyes.
Which was the best feeling out of all three.
You think, you, as
woman,
she was
I'm
murdering the person, she's like, oh, I'm for sure a man. That's like the moment that she's like, oh, I love this too much, by the way, that I'm...
She transitioned and now she poisons people. Women's weapon.
Oh, yeah. She's poisoned millions since the transition. Wow, she's felt what it's like to be a man, a woman, and God. It's everything. There's
in
literally
order,
nothing left.
Getting closer each and every one. Yeah.
I've met God, and she is a transgender murderer.
That seems about right, actually. You met God and they were a transgender murderer. You're like, that adds up.
Fucking why not?
You had all the traits of all the different things.
That is so funny, though. She's experienced everything.
She's really done it all. I mean, what's next?
Can't be a podcast. That's what everybody has when they run out of stuff to do. It's like the Obamas.
This is sort of
a
those
who
can't do teach situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's not for like former demagogues to come hang out. Yeah. Send her to the moon.
Yeah, or like put her in a sub to go down to the Titanic or something like that. Either go way out or way deep.
Yeah,
like just
that's it.
Shoot her somewhere really
we
far.
Should, I think that's a new shoot billionaire. You get to choose.
Yeah.
Deep ocean, far in the sky. But you gotta leave.
Yeah.
We're gonna deport you.
We're deporting you deep in the
outer space.
Atlantis if you're so smart. Or you start over on Mars. You did it on Earth, bud. So we're gonna send you all your money on Mars. I think that's the two places you could go.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
If you had to compete in the Olympics in one event, what do you think you'd have the best shot at?
Fucking like beer darts, is that
an event? You could
be
the announcer.
100%
yeah,
be
yeah, I could announce. I could do that.
Yeah, that would really, I would watch the Olympics if beer darts was a sport. Or like others. Asking your friend to borrow 20 for a bag, but
you
actually doing the entire bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Training you like Rocky.
Yeah, no shit. The Olympics is, it's every year that it comes, well, it's every 4 years. Every 4 years when it comes around, I get fucking stoked for it, and then I turn it on, and the first day, I immediately get bored as fuck.
Yeah.
Are you more of a Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics?
Winter,
guy?
All the way.
Yeah,
you gotta go winter.
Like figure skating? I love watching
figure skating.
Curling?
That's crazy.
Curling is hilarious. Oh,
fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's wild.
What
happens if someone's snowboarding?
Trained
Sean
for your entire life? For curling.
Yeah, it's like bowling and also cleaning. I don't really understand it.
Too exciting as it gets.
It's like vacuuming a little bit. You must be. You have to be loaded, right, to even pursue that. Because what do you do in, when it's not the Olympics? Like, what you have to train all the time. Like, how do you?
Yeah, and it's not like hockey or something where it's like they're planted up pods out in the middle of net. Like, there's no like underground.
Imagine a fight breaking out though.
Curling.
Someone smashes them in the head. They fucking kill them.
Yeah.
You fucked my puck. You fucked it.
You weren't supposed to sleep there.
Just like gouging their eyes out. You know. That would be
or
sick.
Or just scrubbing their face really fast.
Yeah. Fucker. Yeah.
Yeah, curling might be... Curling, it would just be... I wouldn't even have the capacity to understand how bad I was doing.
Yeah, me
you know
neither.
I mean?
But I look at it, I'm like, I could do that. Fucking anybody. You could just go shove a, like a rub a thing back and forth.
Is it like stand-up, though, or they just make it look like that? It's like the best. You get into it, though, and you're like, that's really fucking hard. It's just
you're
the
like,
greats
whoa.
Make it look like anybody could do it.
Is curling like is curling the crowd work of the Winter Olympics? Yeah. It's like, they're just talking to people.
Yeah. It's like, you go up there and try it. I really love, like, I would love to know someone who, like, was one of the world's best like bowlers, and like what the hell they're.
Oh,
like,
dude,
what's
fucking,
the open mics of bowling? I kind of want to know that.
I think it's the gutter.
Yeah, that is the
I
open
think it's
mic
right
for
next
sure.
to our open mic.
Well, you know, the only famous bowler I know is the number five guy. Remember him?
No.
The dude who fucking, what's Pete Weber? You don't know Pete Weber?
No.
No.
He won like five titles in a row, and then in the fifth one, he had this like viral melt. He like won the fifth one, and he fucking screamed at a guy in the audience who was trying to distract him the whole time, and he goes, number five, and he points at the guys. Who do you think you are? I am. And who do you think you are? I am. Is
that's
like a,
pretty great.
It's an amazing. It's amazing.
That's an amazing.
It's like
line.
One of the best.
Also,
soundbites.
So intense for bowling. Like it's
so,
just if
yeah.
you zoom out, where it's like, who do you think you are? It's like, who
dude,
do you think you are?
Yeah,
you're the best in the world at bowling. Okay.
Also, fucking.
I think if you said that on a date, they'd be like, yeah, I am. I mean, what?
You
like?
You got five rings for yeah, bowling, yeah. just fucking weighing down your hand.
Margaritaville.
Yeah. Check out Pete Weber. He's a fucking legend, though.
Yeah.
He's an absolute legend.
That's fucking, yeah.
What about,
I just love to know, like, what's the honesty truth? It's like, they all didn't believe me. It's like, kid's birthday part. Like, who's, like, really doubting you at the bowling alley? Like,
dude,
I don't
know. But bowling seems hard because it's like, you can bowl a perfect thing. So it's like, you would just have to be perfect every time, right?
Yeah.
Like, if someone could just have a strike every time, it's not like, oh, you're going to attempt a new trick. You can only go down from perfect.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah.
Totally. It's like Kim Kardashian's ass.
Yeah.
It's only down from here.
Shaving off, adding some on.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone becomes a professional bowler. I also don't know how anyone becomes a professional referee. Like, how the fuck do you get into
that's
that?
Like,
that's a great
seems
question.
Like, honestly, you know? One of the sickest jobs ever.
Yeah,
besides
like,
people
you,
randomly wanting to murder
yeah,
you.
Yeah, people hate you.
Do you start on the high school level? And like,
but it's funny because it's like a cop with the least amount of stakes and everyone's like, it doesn't matter. It's like being a mall cop and you're like, you did the rules wrong. But like, nobody cares. You just blow a whistle and probably make a pretty decent living.
Yeah, but you probably, yeah. I
but
mean,
everyone hates you. Somebody hates you out there.
Everybody hates me now. The hell am I getting for?
Yeah, that's fair. We'll be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know how you get into that. Like, how do you get
there? Like,
I think I kind of assumed
also,
they
like,
were, like, failed players.
Yeah.
But that's definitely
guy
not
who, like,
right.
Wanted to, because no one's ever like, I want to be a ref.
Yeah.
No one's like, I want, because they were never in great shape either. They have, like, a beer belly. They look a little
they're,
mad.
Like, sprinting.
Yeah, even though they have to run.
Dude, no. Yeah, they're running.
What
to
if the
basketball.
Black and white? What if we find out that was all like prison labor?
Like outsourced. $2.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to go ref the Timberwolves game now. I was working on a chain game for 10 years and then I was on the Mavericks. Mavericks for a while. Fucking. Dude, but sometimes they almost like run into those giant fucking players, dude. I'm like, that seems like crazy. Like,
yeah, no, Rissy, and you're like, pissing off them too, which is like,
yeah,
threat of death.
But I guess if they fucking, if you like hit a referee, you're probably fucked. You're probably in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Are they even to be like harsher with you the rest of the game? Like, maybe they look out for him.
Yeah, but you could just like break their neck though. You could just like,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, but if you get one solid hit, if you have like, one hockey hooligan hits you in the head, it's over.
Yeah, it's fucking done.
Then you're just another hockey player. You become
group.
Too stupid to be a refugee. They do
a
talk.
refugee.
Referee. That's what. Yeah, have the refugees
those
become refs.
Ref.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now you're gonna let me decide where lines are?
Yeah. But I would. Yeah. No one
crossing the border safe. Calling it right now.
First down. Up there by a millimeter.
Did you grow up playing a lot of sports?
No, I played football in middle school and literally did not know how football worked.
Yeah.
Until I was
you're
done.
Like, I'm have a dick. It'll come to me.
Yeah,
it'll
yeah.
Just, I'll figure it
no
out.
No one ever explained how football works. We were just like, there was like holes and I didn't know what the fuck to do. I would just make contact with somebody and fall to the ground. So it looked like I was like doing something.
You were just falling.
I was falling.
Because also if you're a kid, that's just what it looks like. It's like everyone just says start and then they run and fall.
Yeah,
and you're
like,
oh, that's what it is.
100%.
Just run full time.
And it's like so complicated when you're like 10. You're like, I have no idea what the fuck.
Yeah, you're like, you
got to
get past the 7-yard line. You're like, I just thought I pushed down the guy. And they're like, no, not that guy. And you're like, what?
Dude, I think I literally blew coverage on our team like every single play, every game. We were like losing. We lost every single game. And I think it was exclusively because of me. You know, my calling was the arts. And I found it. Yeah, I sucked at sports. Did you play sports?
No, not at all. Terrible at it. Was a big fat, uncoordinated kid. I really just kind of like sat and judged people and talked shit and got high. And
yeah.
One would argue I still pretty much do most of those things.
This is not changed at all.
Yeah, no, I just, I got a little bit more like wisdom on account of the failing that came from that lifestyle. But it was a lot of that. Yeah, I was fat, angry. I just kind of did a lot of, I just like hung
did
out.
You play sports? No, I sat and judged people. Yeah. I thought,
even back then, I had like a 47-year-old who got off work attitude. We're like, that's a lot of work. You run around outside. I was like, I just got home from school. I want to eat Doritos and watch TV and stuff.
I tried a lot of sports, but failed. Like, I remember doing Taekwondo and they like explained like a combination thing we're supposed to practice, and I couldn't remember it, so I was just doing random shit and like bumping into people, and I was like crying but still like fucking doing
it. I tried to get into Taekwondo, and guess why I tried to get into Taekwondo?
What?
Because I read an article at Health Class that said it's good for depression.
Oh my god, how old are you?
And I was like,
damn dude.
And I was like, dude, if I could just get into Taekwondo, this will solve everything.
Like, just didn't talk to your parents or anybody.
Well, I was like, I gotta just like somehow figure this out. So my grandfather tried to get me to type, but then it made me feel worse because it was all like 5-year-olds and I'm just this big fat depressed 7th grader that was like, oh, I thought this would make me less sad. I'm like running in a circle with a 5, they have like a black belt. I'm like, I could kill this lady, I could sit on her.
Did they
need a 5-year-old
black belt?
Yeah, it was a scam. It was just, your kid is supposed to sit somewhere for an hour, and then we'll give them new belts for sitting there.
Dude, it's all about the color belts when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
So I'm a white belt in Taekwondo. I'm not trying to be fucking brag, dude. But
yeah,
my mom's like, we're not using any of that. We're not using any of this tax check in the future for you to sit in pajamas and just be sad.
Dude, I was pretty much the same as you. I would just be like the personal comedian to the bully in grade school so that he wouldn't bully me.
That's a smart move.
Yeah,
and I tried. See, that was actually because I did get bullied, but then I just was like, I'll get my ass kicked, but I'll say something really mean to you and it'll stick.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm playing the long game here.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? I'm playing.
You had more
darkness
inside
like
of you.
I want you to have like an eating disorder in your 20s. Because of me. You know what I mean? That was like, for example, the sports thing. So I was bad at sports and making fun of me. And then so this kid, he scored like, he did really well in volleyball. And I was like, oh, maybe now your dad will let you back inside. Kind of what I told him.
Jesus Christ. You had a lot of darkness growing up.
It was a bad time.
You grew up in Kansas?
Yes, Kansas City. But Kansas.
Overland Park?
Yeah.
You know Jack Harlow?
I have family in Overland Park.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wait, do I know
my grandma's out
Jack
there.
Harlow.
Jack Harlow.
Isn't he from Kansas?
Wait, who's Jack Harlow?
Is that a white rapper?
Oh, wait.
He's got long, curly hair.
He's
like, five white guys have not in sync.
No, I don't know Jack Harlow. I'll just stop you right there. I'm like, maybe if I get more details, I'll remember if I know Jack Harlow.
Yeah, he's
white rapper.
A super successful
like, what am I waiting
rapper.
For to say that I don't know this guy?
The one with the giant purple horn on his head?
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
A couple more details about it. It's coming to me. Yeah, don't know Jack Harlow. A lot of, dude, white rappers, yeah. There's
a lot pretty big, but he's sort of their goat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Eminem.
He's not a bad rapper, I will say. It's kind of the same thing every time, but it's a good song.
His new song with Doja Cat is like so horny that I like had to turn it off. And that makes me sound like so stuck up. It was literally like, I'm going to come in your pussy, thick white cum. Like, it's like that level of like, oh my God.
It's also so much
I'm gonna
of
dance
like,
with it.
I think, yeah, if I was from Kansas and looked like that, I'd also be like, I'm the hottest man that's ever.
Yeah, it's also, I'm watching like a tiny white guy say this to Doja Cat.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it's also
ew,
like, yeah,
dude.
Yeah, Objective 6 being right, like, dude. I'm a sex icon. Yeah.
It's come
like,
on.
Yeah, you take that guy to I mean, I spent some time in Iowa. I'd be like, yeah, I'm the hottest person that's ever lived.
Dude, the bar is so low.
Yeah. If you like wash your ass bi-quarterly,
everybody, dude, I go
at
back
a
to
Love's truck stop.
Yeah.
I am such a New York 5, and I go back to Kansas City and I look fucking great. I'm
in
best
you're like,
shape
you're
of
like,
anyone.
Dude, I am the best thing that's ever. They're like, holy shit, what are you doing?
They're like, how do you do it?
Caring about your physique is like sort of gay.
Nice.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, you're down to, what, 2 beers a night? They're like, that's crazy. How do I get on that diet?
Health not over here. Yeah.
And you're like, what do you mean how?
Yeah.
You drink 2 beers a night.
How do you get on the regimen?
I don't get it, man.
Yeah. I mean, no bread? No Brunin sandwich?
Wait, but where do you spend time away from your whites?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. You just hang out with her at night or something, or what?
It's great, dude. They get fatter. I stay the same size. It's amazing. I go back. It's nuts.
What was growing up in Kansas like for the most part?
I don't know. Like growing up pretty much anywhere in the suburbs. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it wasn't like middle of nowhere.
I feel
like
it was a copy and paste.
Yeah, we grew up in like North Carolina, same kind of guy.
Suburbs?
Yeah.
Like 40 minutes apart, but same.
Did you guys like grow up together? Like, did
no.
You
no, we lived like 40 minutes apart and then we met doing open mics at like end of high school.
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Do you guys know Jack Harlow by chance? he lived in North Carolina for a couple years.
Yeah.
Didn't know if you guys knew him.
Sort of a joking. I didn't genuinely think you knew Jack Harlow because I feel like you would have dropped him.
No. I didn't genuinely think that after you said that.
Oh, yeah.
It would be like the first time I was just hanging with my buddy Jack. Oh, Jack Harlow. Don't you cat. But yeah, the suburbs are uniquely copy-paste kind of soulless environment. When did you, so you weren't into sports. What did you do for fun, bud?
I drew my little pictures.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're an artsy kid.
I was kind of an artsy kid. I had all these comic books and I'd bring them to school.
I wanted to be a cartoonist when I was a little kid.
I love the
Far Side Gallery.
Yeah, I love Matt Groening and all that shit.
Oh, dude, they're fucking great. Do you have the book with like the buddies?
All the childhood is hell and all that shit.
Yeah. Super great. Yeah. Yeah, we were hung out in a very small part of Borders that was reserved for sad nerds.
I feel like we had a very adjacent.
It's literally a shelf. Yeah. That's like a type of person.
I feel like if you grow up in the suburbs, you're not good at sports. You just have to either be like the funny kid or like good at drawing. You have to like something.
You got
to
have be really good at like school, but I didn't have that either.
No, me neither.
Which sucks because it's like, the jock, it's because all the power comes out of the field. I mean, like, this guy's just stupid and dumb.
Yeah,
this guy's just fat and dumb.
Fat and dumb, dude. Yeah,
I think we got a lemon. It's a fat lemon.
Dude, I think I was overfed as a child, too. Like, what they call husky. I was just like chubby.
They threw that around, too. Yeah, it was like Hercules thing from, what's that one? What's the movie where Eddie Murphy gets fat?
Nutty Professor.
Professor. Yeah, like it's like it was kind of that where my mom's always like, "You look great. You're hefty." And you're like,
there's always the word husky. It was so insulting.
Well, I thought I was so fat growing up, and then I found out later that like 7 of my best friends got like hospitalized for anorexia, and I was like, "Oh, we were like measuring it against a kind of
but
crazy
that's almost
metric.
Like when you do like
I was like, God, I'm a piece of shit.
2007.
They almost died. Yeah,
that's almost like going like, up in the cellar, like doing a hard room makes you better.
Or it sends you in the other direction where you get the opposite eating disorder.
They ate like one salty and cracker a day. Yeah, you just fucking spun out. That's crazy. So do you have friends that like didn't eat anything?
Yeah, well, we kind of had like a ragtag team of kids that all like, the kind of hacky joke of like, oh, this looks like a, you know, oh, community college brochure. Like everyone's here.
Yeah.
And it was like that, but like mental illness. You know what I mean? Like we had like one anorexic person, one suicidal person, one anxious person. Like it was like everyone had a thing that like landed them in or near a hospital at some point.
That's like a Pixar movie about horrible emotions. Yeah. They like didn't make it to the editing floor. Like we're not having an eating disorder animation.
Yeah, literally it was like Inside Out, but from hell.
Yeah. I like how you were pitching this as a Pixar movie that never made it, and it was fully Inside Out. They're like, they've done every possible thing.
I think I'm a genius. I'm just pitching Pixar movies. All these things. I get an agent. I just pitch eight
Pixar
movies.
What do you
think
happens to your toys when you're not home?
No, the nightmares come from somewhere. I tell you, they have a big warehouse full of them.
But yeah, that was we had a little like we kind of like weirdly trauma bonded over it.
Totally.
And then you get out and you're like, whoa.
And then
that was weird.
And then now you got, you know, an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you just trauma bond with people that also do stand up.
Yeah, now I found everyone else from that friend group in their high school who was the one person who didn't heal, and then we all hang out.
Yeah.
It's like a you know, like an NCAA bracket or something.
Yeah, who's gonna meet at the end?
It's sort of a forever match,
if you will.
Yeah. But yeah. I was a little bit of a chunky kid as well. But I played a lot of sports, I just played them poorly.
Yeah.
Like
I never got to just have fun. It was like sports was always horrible. Like it truly felt like the first like 30 seconds in Hunger Games where like everything gets blurry and like, fuck, what do I do? Every time I had to play sports was like that. I felt like as a kid.
Yeah. I also played basketball for like 5 years. I fucking sucked at that.
Yeah. Everyone told me that as a kid too. They're like, oh, you're tall. You should play basketball. I was like, that changed it.
And then every
time winded coming up the stairs.
That won't change anything.
Every year at tryouts, I still thought that I could like make the A team somehow, even though I like fucking sucked at it. I would just throw the basketball the same time the best kid at basketball would shoot at the basket, thinking that the coach would like think if his ball went in, that maybe that was my ball that went in.
That's so funny.
Just like, that was Schrodinger's
yeah. I was like, he's got to think. Like,
he's like, I'm going to mind fuck everybody here. Least. Yeah, dude.
Right. It's about showing faith. As long as you're near the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
You're networking with a basketball.
A guy make a basket. Oh, thumbs up. Me. That's me.
See that, coach?
trying to give him like a Pavlov's dog association. A guy makes a basket and you go, Jordanic.
Yeah, I would just go yes after every one the other kid made. Let's go, and then run back to the other side. Dude, and then they post like the A team, B team on like some door or some shit.
We don't call it A and B.
I know, and then all of the kids go up there at the same time and look at the two papers.
Tough.
Yeah.
See, that's why
brutal.
You don't even
B stands
play. You
for
already
brutal.
Know you're going to
yeah,
lose. You just
beta,
don't even get in
beta
there.
Cuck, bitch.
You gotta just, that's how you win the game. You stand outside and you make fun of those people.
Yeah, no. 100%.
And then I tried to do that as a career. I was like, if I could just keep doing this, I'm just standing outside and be like, you suck, actually. And then they'll be like, he's the you suck guy. That was my plan. When did you try to do that? Try to start stand up? Yeah.
Probably when I was like 19. Yeah.
Oh, dude, we all started young too. I started at 17, close to 18.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, so you started really young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 19. Everybody was like, you're like a comedian, you know? And then, like, you know, it goes to your head. You're like, oh, my God, I've got to try.
And then you show up to a mic, and you're like, you're ready for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
I was like, you know when you fart, and it's like, what? And then I was like, oh, fuck. Dude, one time.
Fuck.
Yeah. My third time up, I, like, got high before, and then I forgot, whatever material I had. Yeah. And I said, like, one thing, got no laughs, and then I couldn't think of anything else. And then I was like, I forgot, into the mic. And someone was like, run. And I literally just left. I, like,
that's horrible.
Sweating bullets.
Terrified. You, doing stand-up, you really... like go through a lot of inhuman amounts of public humiliation.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've disappointed a mass group of people, it's like being
the president of like a small failing nation.
It's like for sure a suburb of Cleveland amount of people have seen me and gone, what the fuck? Yeah.
So that is like such a unique experience only we have. Yeah. To disappoint so many people.
Did you?
Usually everyone disappoints like, out your partner, your family, but your family at most, what's that, like 15 people? Like, it's like, the entire early show. At a sold out, the club asked you to host.
We also
have
a lot more people happy.
That's true. But is that fun? Does anyone give a fuck about that on the podcast? It was a whole fun little riff. Oh, wow, we make people happy and successful. Fuck you, Maddie.
Making people happy.
My face like a cat that shit on the floor.
Yeah.
Making them laugh is like the job. That's like what the job. That's what they went there for.
Yeah.
So when it's not that, it's like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's just satisfactory.
They're like, I paid a ticket. Why is this bad and shitty? You know? They're like shifting in their seats uncomfortably.
It's not
like,
often that you're like, oh, I'm going to an art museum. Then you go and you're like, oh, there's nothing here. You're like, oh, normally there is.
Yeah.
Normally people like the painting.
And it's filled with masterpieces.
Not a painting at all.
Like,
sucks. I'm working on it.
And it's like,
it'll be there.
It's like, what if a painting could be so bad that people could look at it and like not see it? Like literally be like, I don't get, like there's like nothing there.
Yeah. That's not even close to a cloud, buddy.
Yeah.
You could draw a vase if you tried, but a piece of
did you have this voice when you started? Like, have you had this voice since you were like a teacher? Because that's very funny to me. It's like, you have such a like confident, like beautiful announcer voice.
Yeah.
But you'd be like, well, actually, I'm not quite sure.
That is 100%
what happened. I forgot what I was going to say.
100%. And I guess I don't have a punchline for that. I have no material, and I'm about to shit my pants.
Oh, wait. This would be kind of fun. Maddie, what do you have any favorite bomb stories for me, and I'll say one for you?
Okay, so what you just said, you're like, I remember a time when you bombed really hard, but do you want to go first? Favorite bomb story for you?
Yeah.
That I was there for?
Yeah.
Not that I just like heard about through word of mouth.
Yeah. Not through the masses.
I mean, well, the titular phone is in the bag was a pretty good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Kenyon bombed at a mic. I mean, it was a mic.
It's a mic.
Everyone wasn't like, ugh. You were just like.
It was a show.
Oh, it was a show?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Well, then yikes.
It felt like a mic.
And then Kenyon got off stage and was so frustrated with himself that he threw his phone and it ricocheted off the wall somewhere. And we were like freaking out trying to help him find his phone. It's like, I don't know what I fucking did. God damn it. And then we finally found his phone. It had bounced off the wall and landed in his backpack. Wow. And we were like, oh, we were freaking out. It was
phone's
fine.
In the bag.
Phone's in the bag.
It's all going to work out.
Phone's in the bag.
Yeah,
that's how we got it.
Wait, that's the name of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my so God.
Wow. It's all coming together.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
If you're freaking out, don't worry.
My mind just fucking exploded.
Ended up where it needs to go.
Insane.
It's like when they say the name of the special in the special. Wait, what? That's what we're doing right now.
You look right at the camera. Wink. Yeah. Break the fourth wall. Wait, so what's your favorite bomb story, Matt?
I don't know, because you never really like flat out like this. It's mainly just like, honestly, and I don't know if there was a lot you could have done, but it's like when we went on that shitty trip to Iowa, and you just, I don't think you were like, you didn't like eat it, but it was just tough.
Oh my God.
It was like 10 people at a late show.
Oh, it was brutal.
And it was like in this like basically like abandoned amusement park. Like the amusement park is also full, by the way. But they're not here to see you at all.
And there's people outside on like Ferris wheels eating like carnival food.
Yeah.
And it's like anybody want to come into the conference room?
Yeah, it looked like an empty wedding. Like you were performing for an empty wedding. We were all like, I was in a weird place.
The stage was so high.
The stage was so high.
So funny.
You can hear the echoes of yourself.
God.
Dude, yeah, that was really
so and many.
Yeah,
so many
I was
those.
Just sitting backstage, just hearing your jokes like bounce back at you, like almost just like those like in a science museum where you can yell and hear the voice like bounce off. Just doing that.
Yeah, where like I'm whispering, but it's coming in loud as fuck. Yeah.
And it was just funny to be like, "Geez, what of the fun?" It's just 10 fat eyes. Like I haven't heard a cat. Anything. Stare forward. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, then we went.
It's like more like a sideshow than a comedy show. They're like, "Look, it's all
is
the
this the bearded
Fox
lady?" Exhibit.
Dude, I had a really similar experience.
A lot
experience.
Of talking, not a lot of beer. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, I had like a very similar bomb. When I was like 2 or 3 years in, I went to do this like it was like a fair in some town in Missouri, like an outside, like the streets were like filled with people and vendors and like all kinds of shit going on. It's like a Ferris wheel. And we're like literally in a conference room off the street, like looking down onto it. And I'm like on this really high stage, and there's like 10 people there. Like no one like not even a breath comes out of anyone's fucking mouth. For
no.
Like, I think I'm doing like way more time than I have. So I'm like supposed to do 20 minutes and I have like 12 or something.
Isn't it sometimes the closest you feel to God? Like you're like, I am out of my body right now. Like
yeah,
I have disassociated and left Earth. Like sometimes yeah, when it's like pure silence and disappointment and everything's going wrong, I can really feel myself like this is an astral projection.
Well,
like I am part of a larger, like I'm going to leave my body right now and join an infinite consciousness.
But it's just so extra brutal to look outside the window in the middle of it and see an actual carnival. like just people with cotton candy laughing. There was like two teenagers just staring me in the front row like,
what the fuck? Yeah. I could have been at the amusement park right now.
They're all like afraid to laugh.
Like, look, it's the Joy Maker. And you're just literally Axel Joy's outside. It's like right there. And they're like, no, it's a guy. He's so fun. We have to sit and just hear him.
The Joy Maker. So funny.
He's a chuckle inducer. This one.
The chuckle inducer.
Like, oh, God. He's really. I think that's why everybody's like, you should do it now. Because it doesn't seem that hard. Because everyone has probably gotten a laugh from someone in their life, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, if you're a comedian, you should just every fucking thing you do. Like, you enter a room like Kramer or something. You have a clown nose on. You do a bummer. So that's why I like got it. Like, day jobs when they find out you're a comedian, living.
No, fucking nightmare.
Every time you walk into a break room, just like, what's this guy have to say? You're like, I'm hungover.
Put that
it's
in
like
here.
How, like, when someone's like, I have anxiety, and it's like, well, everyone has a little bit of anxiety, but do you have, like, a disorder?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has to be that, to actually be that, it has to be so much that it affects your daily life negatively.
Same with comedy.
You can't just have a little bit. Everyone has a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people saying, I have anxiety. It's either a disorder, or you're like, everybody, you're right. Yeah.
Hey.
You're a little funny, you're a little anxious.
Yeah,
we have normalized being like, I have depression. Like, what does that mean? Are you depressed?
No.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you have like, everyone's trying to get brownie points for just having access to emotions, just being a person.
Yeah. But this is probably over talk about, but the therapy talk of it all is like,
oh, I've been absolutely actually on a real thing, because I had like, I was talking to somebody that was like, basically just talking about a family member. They're like, well, you know, my therapist says I don't have to care about it. And I'm like, okay, maybe your boundary shouldn't be like, well, my dad's dying in the street, but that's my boundary. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I don't know if it's a good thing to be like, the person I pay says I actually don't have to give a fuck about anybody else. Yeah. And you're like, okay. Yeah. It just feels a little bit more like, just because you paint it up in a nice way doesn't mean...
It feels like sometimes people's therapists are just like writing a show as they go. You know what I mean? They're just like, they're like writing next week's episode like in time for you. Like they've solved whatever problems and now we're like getting into new weird spaces.
That's totally it. So yeah, it's like season 9 of Seinfeld. Kind of.
Exactly.
Dude, Larry David's gone. What the hell are we doing? Yeah.
That's so funny.
Absolutely. You can tell when somebody's been in it too long. It's totally. Like you're just way up just your own like, ass. Just like, what are you
it's
talking
also
about?
Just like they'll say a normal thing. You're like, yeah, and that's just because of my dad. And you're like, maybe sometimes it's just a bad day, dude.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to conjure your own dad into your brain on a daily basis. Yeah. It's not normal.
I fucked up an omelet. My mom.
You should think about
God
your dad like once a year. Like, should I like come up that
that's,
often?
Maybe that's what it is. Is like we okay? Therapy. Think about your dad somewhat, but ideal. Father-son relationship, you're like kind of never thinking about each other.
Yeah,
it's like an emotional one-night stand. Up from work, you like have a beer, and you're like, hey, and then you forget he exists. And now we went too far into dad. We're thinking about it too. We need
it's
to go
like
back.
Turtles start. Go back to the ocean or whatever.
Yeah, it needs to be like salmon swimming upstream. That's like having a beer with your dad on Christmas or something.
He lets you go and he goes, do something hard. You gotta do something hard.
Go that's be the, somebody out there.
Yeah. That's the rules.
Yeah, steer forward. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively swim upstream the rest of your life trying to prove something.
That's also why dads were able in the past to have so many like separate families, is each child required so little.
That's right.
Like one hug every 3 years. Dude, and, like, doesn't matter. And you were probably still like a top 10 dad in 1900.
Yeah, the same thing that led guys to crypto is like that hustle grind set of like, I could do like 5 of these.
I feel like they want more families. Like this doesn't seem like enough sun stuff.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, you just have to be like, come on, do something.
It's like, you know, you can fill that time the same way if you loved one son all the way. Instead of 5. Whoa, sorry. Never
mind. Yeah, really. We both start crying.
Yeah. Got really quiet. Yeah, really.
One son all the way. This microphone disappears. It's like,
anyway,
it's
what
like
else?
When Thanos snaps his fingers and it all goes back.
What else should we talk about?
You and George is going to stare forward at a bar alone quick for a while.
It's like you made me with your body.
Yeah.
And then you're going
to. They like have to care about you.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing. Yeah,
not
like
everybody does, obviously, but like for the most part.
That's like, you know, when in kindergarten you did that like experiment with the beans where you like would put it in a wet paper towel and you saw it grow into a plant? That's like dad relationship with the son. You're supposed to be like, now I have to care about that plant? Like, I kind of forgot about all that. I just did the beans thing. I did the beans thing. I put out a window. Yeah. And they're like the teacher that was watching the whole thing. You know? Maybe it's the greatest.
What a fucking deep stretch for that. I don't know how you found that.
Stretch it out, dude. Yeah. But yeah, you have a new special coming out?
I do, and I don't have a date right now. It was supposed to come out April 10th. But 800-pound gorilla making an offer, so it's going to be on their channel in May.
Let's go.
And I don't know if you guys... Do you guys like have to put this one out?
We can save it. You want to can it? We'll also do it now and you come on again. I mean, like, truly, whatever. Yeah, we can save it.
Yeah,
May.
We like can it. And then so if you're watching it, it's out now. So check out 800-pound gorilla's YouTube.
And that was before the
invasion. We just like time travel.
I know,
that like broke my brain. I was like, and it's going to be May and then we'll do this late and it's out now.
That was crazy. It's going to be so funny when it's May and like that company's like gone or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Is your special out?
It's a little risky to be like, it'll be on this in May.
Yeah, they're like, what? That was before New York was a crater.
In theory, it should be out now.
So much could happen between now and May.
And like, the Department of Homeland Security is releasing it. You're like, that's
not 800-pound gorilla. Also, the Department of Defense was now an 800-pound gorilla. America's chosen the ultimate alpha figure. It's time to have these weak ass men. We're having fucking gorillas in charge, dude.
Dude.
This helps promotion or hurts it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's called Keep the Change, and it's out now, in theory.
Oh, that's such a good title, dude. And you taped it at the Gutter, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, I'm so sad I couldn't good be there for that taping, but that's like the fucking best for
it. It was fun, yeah. It was very nerve-wracking to do. Mm. Have you done one?
No, I'm hoping to do one this year.
I feel like you're ripe for it.
Thanks. I really wanted this year, but it scares the fuck out of me. Like,
oh my God, yeah. For months leading up to it, I was like, you know.
Yeah,
pulled my hair out, but
no, that's a lot.
Yeah, but then when the day comes, you're like, kind of like, I got this, you know.
Total.
So
well, also, you just spent so much money, you're like, it's gonna be,
it has to work.
You spent some research, you're like, but also, who cares?
Yeah, and then also, it's like the easiest set you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, everyone's like rooting for you.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Totally, yeah, it's great. So the most fun ever.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I'm really really happy with it, and yeah, check it out.
Fuck yeah! Well, thanks for doing it.
Are we at the
yeah.
Damn, so. You did it so smooth, and I was like, is it over? Let me check the time. I was like, Kenyon, are you covertly ending the podcast? That was very cool of you. Yeah. Sorry.
That was smooth. I've never done plugs that smooth in my life.
That was really
buddy, people, yeah, I'm pretty covert at ending things.
I usually
a little bit of a talent, Mike. Yeah. Actually, I'm just getting out of here, man. Just go to a bridge.
Patreon.com/phone is in the bag. Come see us over there every week. And I'm on Instagram, Mattity Wiener, and I have my stand-up dates on my Punch Up Live, which is in my bio, and it's also a mailing list if you want to know when I'm in your city. But come see me on tour before I tape this hour.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. At Kenny Comedy on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
And watch Joe's special.
Keep the change.
Bye. Out now.
Thanks for doing it.
Dude, that was so fun. Yeah, thank you for
how much do you have a heart out?
Not really. No. I mean
let me see. It's 6:30.
Oh, okay, probably not then.
I might be a little tight.
Yeah, no. Because otherwise you would do
Yeah, sorry, I would love to do a Patreon, but we got a main up in there. Thank you guys so much for doing this. It was so fun. We'll make a note to save this for May. Dude, please come on like anytime.
Yeah, great.